American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. It's Sean Kennedy reporting you from the internet for Monday, September the 19th, 2010. And that's like you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep on Corporate Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. That's right. We're still taking a stand. We've been here for 10 years doing this show. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are taking a stand as well. You can follow up on all these news stories and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. But are you going to do that? Does anybody actually go to my live journal? If you go to my live journal, do make a comment so I know that somebody cares. That would be great. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free podcast. You should never have paid money for this. If it's part of a subscription service, unless you paid money by giving us money, which is okay. But you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have some asshole selling this to you, making money on it, because unless we're getting some of it, you know, really. So you make sure that if you bought this, you go back to the guy and go, hey, did you give Sean any of that money that I gave you? Because the money's gone for me. I don't give a shit, but I know you've got a cat. If you want the cat, no, don't do that. Don't do that. What you can do is you can listen to this podcast on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night we are inside of Second Life in a virtual reality environment practicing our Black Sun Fight Club Kung Fu in Second Life Node Archers at grid 15574666. And in the arena tonight, we have DJ Dally Steampunk, Lauren Lawlax, Don Dorbin, Anthony Metaluna, BSD Dreadlow, BSV Dreadlow, Morph Sky Tower, Agent Dax Static, Alina Martinsnide, Sexus Core, Denim Dash, Flash DY Auto, Hero Choi, Johnny Crouch, JC Denton, Lachlan Dark Matter, Max the Toking Cat, Mindy Starek, Sussum Davy, Tackcraft, who did some lovely remodeling in here recently, IE64 Life Rudolph, and Avagdu somebody, as well as Tackcraft, which I'm not too sure. I think my fingers Avagdu, and I'm sorry, your last name is covered by some weird glitchy thing on my computer. Ha! But that's part of the problems we have doing a pirate broadcast, which is also simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And let's not forget my always faithful, ever talented, beautiful co-host, Sumerian.
Good evening, Sean.
Good evening to you. So how is your day going? I understand that you've got some construction going on outside your place of residence. You know?
Eternally, for weeks and weeks on end, so I have to power through it when I'm doing my Pirate Party radio show, and there's like clanging and metallic banging noises and grinding of concrete in the background. But I'm pretty excited because I got my official member card from the Pirate Party of Canada, so it's I'm easily traceable by the government.
You're a card-carrying member of the Pirate Party of Canada.
Card-carrying member. Yeah, they're pretty spiffy looking too. So,
yeah, nice. You know, I don't know if I got the email. I don't think I've paid to have the card because you got to pay to have the card.
So yeah, it does cost some money.
Yeah, it does. It does. So let's be fair. It wasn't like we signed up and got cards. You had to pay money for that shit. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna copy your card. Okay, so just, I'm gonna, because you paid
and
for
cross
yours.
Out my name and put in your name.
Well, no,
change
I'm just
the member number.
I'm just thinking because you know if I just I mean you bought it right, so that's your card, right?
Yes.
So I'm just gonna come over and copy that, and we're gonna you know, and then I got a card too, right? That's cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Gets you into all the cool events, backstage pass.
Fucking A. So I'm gonna start copying. We should sell those. We should totally fucking sell those on the Rant Media website. We totally should. We could sell pirated copies of the Pirate Party card. We should totally do that. I think
it is under the Copy Me license.
Fuck
it does have that K
we
on it.
Totally,
so,
we should totally do it. Look into it. It'd be awesome. We totally have to do it. It'd be the greatest promotion the Pirate Party ever had. I mean, come on. You know, it's not, what are they going to get mad at us? No. I think it's a great idea. We should totally pirate party cards. Canadian pirate party cards. Wow, you can have a pirate, you can pay taxes on that shit. It's just fun to say. You know, I think we should do it. You know, that's $1 million idea, man. You know, somebody else is going to get
it
that.
It is.
You should. We should totally that's sell right. Canadian pirate party cards for like $10. We should. It'd be a riot. It'd be a riot. I think it's good. Anyway, we got some feedback, Simi. Off the top, we got some feedback. Dear Sean and Sim, this is what I'm going to decide as feedback as an actual question. Dear Sean and Sim, do you guys have an iPod/iPhone app for archive downloads? ? There was no name left, none of that shit. That's it. That was the question. I forwarded this to you. I don't know if you responded to it.
Yes.
But it's a good it's a good question. And do we have an iPhone app for archive downloads for those of us out there that want
Well, all of our archives are available for download. Let's just say that off the top.
Let's get
for
that
free
let's
off
get
of
that
our web pages.
Right.
Like, you can just go for it, go to the web pages with any device that has internet access, click on download, you can download them all.
Actually,
we don't have a specific app for downloading the archives, and if anybody out there would like to make one for downloading the archives, go for it. But, I mean, you can just go to the website and download directly there. I don't see the need for an app, but
what Sim's trying to say here is stop being so fucking lazy is what he's trying to say here. Stop being so goddamn lazy. If you want your Fisher Price phone to go get your apps for you, somebody hasn't made that yet, so you might have to get off your fat ass, let your fingers do the walking, go to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, you know, and like actually click on the thing that says Newsreel Archive Download 1, Newsreel Archive Download 2, because for free we have this massive fucking repository of data which you can have.
I mean, there's
all you got to do is walk over there and get it.
As of this show, 470 episodes. This is the 470th. So maybe they want one button that downloads the 20 gigs of archives. I don't know. Maybe that's what they want. I don't know what the app would do more than download the
Jesus
episode.
Jesus Christ, really? I think I'm going to quit at 500. I think I'm going to stop the show at 500. I should. No, really. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Honestly, well, when am I going to hang this up? You know, show 872? Like, come on.
Okay. I don't know.
He's like, what are you talking about? 30? That's only like 8 more months.
What are you saying?
What are you saying here? I was just saying, like, it seems like I never keep track of the numbers. I never do. Because it's like that, you know, like this, like the other day. Okay, the other day. Side story. I know people hate this.
Yeah.
But the other day I ran 10 miles. First time I ever did it.
Yes. Wow. That's awesome.
I know. It's not super awesome. Awesome would be if I did it in, like, you know, 20 minutes or something. That would be pretty stunning.
Well, but you got to work up to that kind of thing, right?
Well, I have been. That's just it. Like, I haven't been posting my workout on the internet. I don't know why I haven't been doing it, but I haven't. I've been running like 7 and 10.
You don't like bragging. That's why.
Well, no, clearly I do. I mean, you know, I'm narcissistic as hell. I must be. I'm kind of a controlling freak, so I should, you know, I don't know why I haven't been posting my workout. I just guess that was kind of a personal thing or whatever. So, you know, or maybe I just have such a low opinion of myself that I didn't think it was worthy, you know, to post that. But the 10 miles, I've never done it before. Never done it before. So I got up, and I like doing things when I wake up in the morning. I don't know if it appeals to anyone who's ever been in the army understands that you can do unbelievable exercise if you just get out of bed and exercise. You could do obscene shit if you exercise that way. It's like a military secret. I don't know how it works, but if you've ever been in the army, that's what they do. And any army guy will tell you that, if I'm going to work out, I like to do it when I work up in the morning. It's generally the truth. Now, I don't need to speak for everyone, but that's sort of a stereotype, okay? Now, for me, I had to get up because I worked, right? And I wanted to do it on a Monday, and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to get up at 3:15 in the morning because I have to leave my house by 5:00 in the morning. So I'm like, so that would mean that if I'm going to run, like, I get up at 4:00 all the time to run. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to get up at, like, but so each morning, Monday morning, I tried to get up 3:15. Didn't do it. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not doing this. Tuesday morning. Now, of course, my clothes are all laid out, you know, staring at me as I get ready later. Because when I wake up at 7:00 and I go to work or whenever the hell it is I leave the house, I'm looking down and there's the clothing is still there that I was supposed to have used, but I didn't use it. And it's still sitting in my bathroom.
This is the running clothing.
This
the jogging
is the running
clothing
or whatever. Right.
That's
staring at me, mocking me. You know, like, you know, you see on the TV where the shoes talk to you and shit. That's exactly what they do. And they're like, hey, man, you're a pussy. Look at you. Guess what we were supposed to do this morning? Ooh. Yeah, really bad. really bad. So
wow.
Terrible. So that happened Monday morning. That happened Tuesday morning. You know, so Wednesday, yeah. That's it. That's it, man. Quarter after three, I'm done. I get up. I'm a badass. It takes me 8 minutes to get out of bed. I don't know how that happens. Like, if I tried to get out of a bed and tried to take 8 minutes to do it, I don't think I could do it. But for some reason, there's temporal shifting going on there. Made it into the bathroom. It took me almost 20 minutes to make it into the bathroom, put on clothes that were laid out, and get out of the house. It was disgusting. My God, if the house is on fire.
But
everyone,
you did it.
I did it.
But you did it.
I did it. I did it. So then I go run this crazy 10-mile route that I have all mapped out with the car and everything. Run that.
Okay,
I get back. Eat two bananas, any other fruit I can find in the fridge. I drank a glass of orange juice before I went so I didn't fatigue out. And I just ate all the fruit I could lay my hands on. But bananas particularly because they're loaded with potassium and helps out with muscle pain and stuff. And then, but today, and luckily because I worked, this has been a 6 month probably project easy working up to this point. Mm-hmm. And then bang. You know, I go and do it, and today I just feel like I was slept in a washing machine, you know, generally. is how I'm feeling. I have the most drastic, brutal body fatigue on the go.
Worth it.
I had to have this tea, man, because, you know, like, after the show is over, I'm going to fall face down on the keyboard, and everybody in the chat's going to get a face full of Z's, because I'm just going to be like, I am so wasted, you have no idea. So it's like, craziness. But anyway,
but
so
you
that,
did it. You
I did do it.
And now the next time you go for 10, it'll be a tiny bit easier.
Well, this is it.
Infinitesimally small amount of easy.
Yes, exactly. And that's just it. Now, some people, and it's interesting because when you're running that kind of distance, people are like, that's almost a half marathon. I have no interest in running marathons at all. At all. There'd be a point to a marathon. Right. I don't run for
finish
any reason
line or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I want a medal or I want to say I was in this marathon. That's not why I run. I run because if I don't run, I go crazy. So ideally, I like the kind of person that like think of it as like tuning your brain, and a certain distance will tune your brain. So you have to tune your brain with a certain distance you run in the morning. And if I run 10 miles in the morning, I'm like Gandhi that day. OK, I'm like bringing I could bring peace to the Middle East if I ran 10 miles every day. I swear to God. Yeah.
It's just this feeling of goodness overcomes you. If
you're
you do the
high
running.
As a kite because like, you're full of
I
endorphins.
I could do anything.
Right? Yeah, totally. Totally. That's
Well, really, if you run 10 kilometers, you really can do anything.
Well,
you've already done something, really.
You're kind of in the special forces territory at that point. Territory, not very far in, but you're in that territory. Well, you know, there's like Marine Force Recon swims 5 kilometers every day. Thanks.
Oh, jeez.
Let's go swim 5,000 meters. No fins. That's swimming. 5,000 meters. Go. swim 5 kilometers. That's daily. Okay? We're going to do that daily. Wow. As I understand it. Now, there's a lot of propaganda that floats around, but that's a super high standard to maintain. Okay, so if you could, on any given day, swim 5 kilometers in some kind of good time, like, Jesus Christ.
They do the triathlon in the morning before 7 a.m., right?
Yeah.
Every day.
No breakfast. That's right. They're ninjas. Right.
That's
they
the reward. The reward is breakfast.
They can fly. Okay, more feedback. Dear Sean.
Right.
Dear Sean, not certain where this fits in the scheme of things in the show, but I thought I would get your thoughts on this idea. With most law enforcement agencies frowning on people having firearms or knives, why not get into the time-octed practice of carrying a walking stick? Learning stick techniques are not difficult. You even get a free manual at Lulu. I don't know of any law enforcement agency that can stop you from carrying a walking stick or a cane. How do they know you don't need it? And if you aren't keen on yourself using a walking stick, some people might stare, there's always the unbreakable umbrella, which is actually a really neat piece of kit. RealSelfDefense.com. It's an unbreakable umbrella. It's a $200 umbrella, but it's an unbreakable umbrella. Nothing that the powers can do without pissing on off old people everywhere. Loving the show. Ruminator. And that's an interesting point, you know, that he brings up about the walking stick and all that kind of jazz. I am a bigger fan of thinking of these things as tools. Remember, all your force multipliers like umbrellas, everything like that, that's just a tool. You yourself, you are the weapon, right? That's what's important. So don't get hung up on carrying something with you. There's nothing dumber than that. If you're walking around with weapons, that's a bad idea. Because if for whatever reason you get stopped and they search you and they find weapons, you are well and truly fucked. And that's not wise. So what you need to do is you need to be confident enough and strong enough that you don't need to carry a weapon. Do I think you should carry a knife? Absolutely. Do I think you should carry a knife as a weapon? No, I do not. I would sooner see you carry a Swiss Army knife with a bunch of other cool shit, because a Swiss Army knife as a cutting tool is actually useful. I'm really sorry, but the best Strider knife made is going to be really shitty at gutting a trout. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. There's some nice tools out there. Depends what you're using the knife for. I don't know how many knife fights you've been in. I haven't been in any. Thank you very much. Well,
With all these bannings of weapons and stuff, I always think back to like the Kung Fu movies or ancient China, where all weapons were banned and all the peasants trained with farming implements and sticks and stuff like that.
Well,
and
that's how nunchucks showed up, right? It was that threshing stuff.
I'm just a farmer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a farmer. This is not a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'd rather, you know, be able to... I think a lot of times, like, kit, to be honest with you, is a lot like training wheels. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the amount of support you have. That's what your gear is. And you need support. It's good to have good support and good gear. But as you get more experienced as, in whatever field you're in, let's just call you an operative, as you get more experience, you're going to need less and less gear because you're more and more familiar with the territory. Now, that doesn't mean you turn into a sloppy, ignorant, overconfident bastard. That just means that you don't need to have, you know, a full rucksack full of a ton of stuff. And a lot of the guys you look at, I've observed this with, like, a lot of these SAS guys, you could drop them naked in the middle of the desert, and if the guy's got, like, a pair of toenail clippers, he's laughing, you know, kind of a thing, because they're just that good. So while any idiot can be uncomfortable, the point here is I don't think people should get really hung up on gear and kit. Yes, a good bag is essential, and I'm a big believer in gear and kit, but that doesn't mean you should carry gear and kit with you wherever you go. There are times when it's quite useful to have an unbreakable umbrella. And if you're going to buy an umbrella anyway, you could just use that all-knowing, powerful justification of what does it do, how well does it do it. Well, it's both a cane and an umbrella, and it's unbreakable. Umbrella full win. You know what I mean? Versus I stop water, which this other umbrella also does. Much like, you know, your watches is all it does is tell time. Your watch is fucking lazy. All right? So, you know, get a watch that does more than that, because we have the tools and technology. Fashion sucks. Function over form. But it's always good to be a little conscious of that. That's something I've been thinking about too, Simi, is the image you betray.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you're not going to get a job interview with a mohawk. It's not going to happen.
Not most jobs. Some jobs, like HMV, you know, working at a record store or a tattoo parlor or things like that, or a pool hall. Those are the jobs that would get hired, you know, with the
or a bartender. I suppose if you could be a bartender.
That's true. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Especially if you're cool. If you're a cute chick with a mohawk, you could probably go farther. You know, and then I think, if you're cute and you have a mohawk, I think you could probably go farther. And depending on your town, I think the mohawk would be better received in Los Angeles than, say, you know, like, I don't know, Wisconsin.
It's true.
You know, I don't know.
You got to know your environment.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that it's important to be able to blend in, is my point. You're not going
to
blend in.
You have to dress
in
for the part.
Well,
if you're going to be a spy and be undercover, you have to dress for the, you know, the play
good.
You're going to be
put in. I don't know about being a spy or being undercover, but the nail that don't be a target, right? Don't stand out. You know, you can be as extreme as you want, but nobody else has to know you're that extreme. That's what keeps you out of jail and off of watch lists. And there will come a time when all these people who feel so self-righteous about jumping up and down going, yeah, man, I got all my pictures in the papers throwing burning bottles at stuff. That is not going to help you in the long term, okay? It's really not.
You can't do shit from jail.
Yeah, and it's really upsetting when you get like that. But I really dig on Ruminator for showing me the real self-defense. Real-self-defense.com Unbreakable Umbrella. That's a pretty slick piece of kit.
Nice.
So we got some news. Sim, got some news. Armageddon news. Okay. Thank you very much, Leviticus. In the first few days after BP's Deepwater Horizon wellhead explosion, spewing crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico, cleanup workers could be seen on Louisiana beaches wearing scarlet pants and white t-shirts with the words "Inmate Labor" printed in large red block letters. Coastal residents, many of whom had just seen their livelihoods disappear, expressed outrage at the community meetings. Why should BP be using cheap or free prison labor when so many people were desperate for work? The outfits disappeared overnight. Work crews in the Grand Isle, Louisiana, still stand out. In a region where 9 out of 10 residents are white, the cleanup workers workers are almost exclusively African American men. The racialized nature of the cleanup is so conspicuous that Ben Jealous, the president of the NAACP, sent a public letter to BPCO Tony Hayward on July 9th demanding to know why black people were overrepresented in the most physically difficult, lowest-paying jobs with the most significant exposure to toxins. And that's the really scary thing here. And the article goes on to talk about how they were using prison labor to clean up the oil spill. Now, let's... Before we go any further, you need to understand that everyone... Remember the Exxon Valdez? What year did that happen, Sim? Can we Google that? What year did the Exxon Valdez happen?
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I don't know. But the thing is that it wasn't that long ago. And every one of you who was involved with that cleanup project, everyone involved with that, is dead now. All of them. They're all dead. There's nobody who is working that who is still alive. And a great many of them, as you can imagine, died from weird, fucked up complications. So
21 years ago.
Right. So they're all dead. Okay? So your cleanup workers are between the ages of, like, what, 20 and 50? Sure, a bunch of 40-year-olds check out. But what about the 20 to 30 crowd? What the fuck? Okay, so awesome sauce. Wicked. Now we've got these prison guys... Who, now, you know, I don't go soft on crime. A lot of people might wonder about that. Let's be real clear. I am not soft on crime. I'm all about shooting criminals. I think it's a good idea. Okay? However, if you're going to have prisoners, I don't like prison camps. I don't really like prisons. I don't like concentration camps. I think they're a bad idea. I think that's where a lot of bad, bad, dark, worst parts of the human spirit kind of stuff happens. So, you know, and the worst kind of human spirit stuff is taking people who you've enslaved due to some wrongdoing they have done. So now they're not a prisoner, they are a slave. And then you send these slaves out to clean up toxic waste, okay, which will kill them slowly over time. If I'm going to kill prisoners because they deserve to die, it will be quick. Okay, it's, you know, lights on, lights off, that's it, you're done. You know, put them in a pile driver or something, I don't know. But the point is that you don't make people suffer. I mean, that's the most savage and inhumane thing you can do is to make someone suffer, no matter how horrible they were. So, I mean...
Well, I can answer the question why they're using them, because
it's free, isn't it?
Effective.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, it's cost-effective.
It's very free.
Who cares? So, yeah, send in the black prisoners. That's fucking cool. No one gives a shit. They're black. Everybody down here knows that, right? Is that, that's the kind of, that shit, you know, gets that whole Freedom Railroad Canadian blood going in me, man. When I see shit like that with that kind of, like, racial stuff, it just, it's like Nazis. You know, you see that shit and you're like, wow, hey, a Nazi. And it's like open fucking season. Like, if I ever actually saw a Klansman, I'd feel totally justified in shooting him. That's a horrible thing. You know, it is. But I'd be like, hey, I shot a Klansman. High five. You know, same with Nazis and shit. But, you know, there's the political free speech thing. And, you know, I tell you, what was that guy, that general in Iraq who got up in front of everybody and said, yeah, it's fun to shoot some people. Remember that guy? He said that. Yeah, that was big news, man. He got up and he said, it's fun to shoot some people. And fuck yeah, man, he wasn't lying. You know, he wasn't lying. There's people out there. Yeah, it's not a nice thing to say. I totally understand that. But I'm here to tell you, man. You know, some people need shooting. It's true.
The truth is unpopular.
It's unfortunate. It is unfortunate. And, you know, even the most, you know, radical and, you know, unless they're like Buddhist or something, but what the hell have the Buddhists done lately? They don't have a space program or nothing. I mean, you know, any of these, they generally just get walked on. It's pretty, I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm not into philosophy, right? Like, even you believe in shooting
not so
people.
Much.
I think you believe in shooting people. I mean, you support.
There are cases, yes, where somebody needs to get a bullet in them.
Yeah, it's true.
When they're coming at me and I've got a gun in my hand and they mean to do me harm.
Five methed out rapists.
It's them.
Yeah, five methed out rapists coming through the front door with the wife in the bedroom.
I'm not going to sit on the floor and cross-legged and do some chants. They're getting...
No, you're going to feel really good about the MAC-10 I gave you. You'll be like, you know, sometimes...
Pretty much.
I think I'm going to go eat a steak now. 35 rounds, 4 dead meth heads, and I'll have my steak medium rare. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
So that's... Yeah. But getting back to
hence why I have a katana over my bed.
Yes, well, and the MAC-10.
Yeah, that too.
And rabid wild guard dogs and ninjas who work exclusively for Rant that will kill you if you go near Sim. Oh my god, that'd be terrifying.
That's right.
If somebody ever came after you, I would be afraid of that. Like, I'd be kind of worried if somebody came after me, because some of the fan mail I get is a little bit frightening. But if somebody came after you, it'd be like, that'd be like somebody beat up the littlest hobo. Because everybody loves the littlest. So, like, London, no! You know what I mean? It'd be terrible. It'd be terrible. Let's do another news story. An iScan news sent in by Woogs. Not Wogs. That's Woogs. Or it could be Wogs spelled
different.
Woogs. 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 Homeland Security Department. Did you catch, before I get into this story, did you catch that He-Man animation I put up there? That
that was so awesome.
That was just amazing.
That was
stuck in my head for like 4 days. I swear to God, it was just it was just, yeah, totally. And for some reason, I was
prepared for not awesomeness. I was prepared for super cheesy, but it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Yeah. Anyway. Back to this horrible iScan news.
Check Sean's new feed for some He-Man animation thing.
You
will like it.
Yep. What's going on? The Homeland Security Department plans to test futuristic iris scan technology that stores digital images of people's eyes in databases as considered a quicker alternative to fingerprints. It's faster. I want you to be pumping laser light into my eyes. That's a great idea.
Please.
That won't do any long-term damage at all. At all, especially if I work in a high security building. Boy, that won't be shitty at all on my eyes. Yes, absolutely. Please start throwing high-intensity light into a nerve that runs directly into my brain. Please do that on a repeated level with no long-term testing on what the effects of that would be. So that's problem number one with eye scan technology. Problem number two with eye scan technology is everybody knows that that's cyberpunk villain super territory. Okay, eye scans, it's kind of a cyberpunk thing.
Yeah, and you don't need somebody's permission to do the eye scans. You can do it from a distance. That's the big problem. Just doing mass scans of crowds, you can follow somebody in their everyday life without their permission, without them being judged guilty. You're not even going after the person. Now you've got a database that they visit the porn store 5 days a week and they'll be vilified by their community.
Right. Those goddamn... And clearly he's technologically unsavvy because no one actually goes to porn stores anymore. I mean, how do porn video stores stay open?
I have no idea how any video stores stay in business.
How do porn video stores stay open? I don't get it. Like, I don't go in them myself because they're weird.
I don't know. Yeah. There must be an age range cutoff of people who just don't know what the internet's about. And they just... Like, why would you, you know, park your car and go into the porn store and when you can stay in the comfort of your own home?
And get and much better quality stuff, really.
That's
you
right.
Know? Like, I'm just, you know, they ought to be like, you know, educate a pervert programs or something so that, you know, they can stay at home where they belong and just, you know, stay there and, you know, get fat and old and not hurt anybody.
It's all those Luddites, you know, that just don't know what a computer is.
Yeah.
It must be.
I guess so. In torture news, this is from Bedlam, sent me this one. Awesome name to couple with that title.
That is.
Last Thursday, Republican John Conyers and the chair of House Committee released a previously undisclosed testimony of J.S. Bybee delivered to the committee on May 26, part of its investigation and advice given by the Justice Department lawyers to the Bush administration regarding the use of torture in the war on terror. Bybee, now a judge in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, was the assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, office legal counsel of department that's supposedly obligated to deliver impartial legal advice to the executive branch. On August 1, 2002, when two notorious memos, commonly known as the torture memos, were issued, largely written by LLC lawyer John Yoo, but ultimately signed off on by Bybee. The first memo, which sought to redefine torture, was leaked in the wake of the Abu Ghraib scandal 2004 and remains shocking in its attempt to claim the definition of the U.S. Anti-Torture Statute, an act specifically intended to inflict severe physical and mental pain or suffering upon another person within its custody or physical control, could be redefined as the infliction of physical pain equivalent in intensity to the pain accompanied by serious physical injury such as organ failure, impairment of bodily function, or even death. In the infliction of mental pain, which results in significant psychological harm of a significant duration lasting for months or even years. So what they've done is they redefined torture from being an interrogation tool into a type of prison system, right? So it's like the small stuff is okay. Waterboarding's okay, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. As long as you don't die from it or we break your arm from it, anything goes. It's all good.
Yeah, which I think is inevitable. Really. It is. Yeah, I'm sorry, let's cut the shit. We're talking about war here. Okay? Like, if you think a bunch of dudes who grab you in Africa are going to go easy on you, are you fucking kidding me? They got videos.
No, they probably won't.
No, and these radical psychopaths.
Should we sink to their level?
Yeah.
Just because they do
fuck
it?
Fuck yeah, to get an edge, you goddamn right you do. There's no such thing as a fair fight, man. I'm real sorry, but that, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what any of these bastards sign off on, but that torture, that extraction is still going to occur. I think there's lots of ways to do it. I'm a big fan of chemical interrogation myself. I think you'd march farther by, like, grabbing a dude, getting him hooked on a drug, and then denying him the drug French Connection style to interrogate him. Okay, I think you'd get further doing that than you would, like, beating the shit out of somebody or feeding them sodium pentothal or some other concoction they got. I mean, I think there's a lot of ways you could get that out of people. And understanding that Jack Bauer is just a show, and understanding that, you know, this kind of a weapon should not be taken out of the gun case too easily. Understand, you don't want to be, you know, messing around with too much, but there's chemicals you can feed people that they will tell you whatever the fuck you want to do. And it's not, and I, even still, if it saves enough lives, I'm even into it scrambling their brain. If they're, like, damaged permanently afterwards, well, too fucking bad. Because you're part of the force that created the problem that's going to kill all these people. So if you wind up paying for it, hey man, you made your bed. Okay, and that's how I feel on the issue. Now, there's a lot of people who disagree with me. There's going to be a lot of people who get all up in arms saying, oh, Sean, you know, fuck, whatever. It's, you know, drawing the line, and they get all on their moral fucking high horse. But at the end of the day, you know, we live in a society that's free because there are rough men waiting in the dark to do violence on your behalf. And that is a fact. That is a fucking fact. And all these dudes love to hang these guys. Blackwater was making $1,000 a day. $1,000 a day on the ground. Why is that? Why, who's paying those guys for that? You know what I mean? It's all... there's a big system going on here. Now, I know, Sim, you disagree. You disagree. I know that.
Well, it is hard to kind of justify not torturing somebody, but going over to another country and blowing thousands of people's heads off. It's like, okay, well, we can blow their head off, but we can't torture them. Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely some
kind of a strange situation. It is very strange.
Because it's the same thing. You know, the Geneva Convention is a wonderful idea, but it's a fairy tale everybody told themselves after the Second World War to try to deal with the horror of what had occurred. Okay, but the Geneva Convention didn't change shit. I'm sorry, there's still
change anything for the bad guys, but it's something that the good guys are supposed to follow.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing about it, right?
Yeah, the good
and
guys.
And it's a punishment after the war.
You betcha.
Essentially, it's a way to punish the losers. Oh, that's all it is.
Sure.
Really? Because after the war, okay, you're the losers, we get to use this document that we drafted up. Did you do any of these items? Yes. Okay, now we get to kill all of you because you did these.
Unless
all
you're
the
smart.
Leaders get to hang.
Unless you're smart. If you're smart, we'll just, you know, write off your atrocities and then bring you into our space program. Because that's what we did. Operation Paperclip. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Oh, you guys are like Nazi doctors and shit? Like, personally responsible for slaughtering, like, you know, fucking millions? Perfect. Awesome. And, you know, and I can, and that's how you wind up with, like, long-seated hatred. I don't know how the fuck we're ever going to fix China and Japan. Like, dude, man, there's some hatred going on over there. I mean, you think the Middle East is fucked up? They got nothing on China and Japan, man. Like, wow.
That'll take many, many generations.
Oh, they're not even in the, they're so angry, they're not even shooting at each other yet. That's how mad they are. They're still in the mad phase. They're not even in the working it out, shooting at each other phase. They're still in the plotting, kind of slipping poison into your coffee kind of phase right now. There's a lot of hairy shit. But, you know, honestly, a lot of Eastern philosophy, I think, is strong enough that it can wash a lot of that shit away. So hopefully while everyone's plotting, you know, somehow some good will get done over there. Not to claim religion, Simi, but I'm saying philosophy. You know, I'm just saying. In Red Sector news. Now, this is an interesting news story. The Red Sector stories are going to be stories about isolations of communities, i.e. I'm traveling from Red Sector to Green Sector, and then we'll go to Yellow Sector. And this is something I'm starting to find out. Very cyberpunk, right? You got the eye scanners.
Yeah.
Now you are moving to Red Sector. This story is about Sheriff Lee Baca of Los Angeles Police Chief Department, Charlie Beck. What the hell? Sheriff Liebacka. Ant. There we go. And L.A. Police Chief Department Charlie Beck on Tuesday unveiled a database that links local, state, and federal agencies in the fight against crime and focuses on communities rather than criminals. This system has the capability to empower police agencies to effectively identify and assess problem areas. Without regard to jurisdictional boundaries. Just like crime. End quote. Said the community. This system has the capability to empower police agencies to effectively identify and assess problem areas without regard to jurisdictional boundaries, just like crime. End quote.
You're going to have to check the criminal area database before buying your house to make sure you're not in a red zone.
Well, the community-based information system combines the information on crime, community demographics, social service referrals, school dynamics, and other data relative to law enforcement decision-making. We're going to make decisions based on this. The CBIS provides a real-time intelligence between local, state, and federal agencies that will allow us to combat crime together, said Special Agent in Charge John Torres of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Los Angeles Field Division. If this database can save one life, and I know it will, ATF will continue on its collaboration with this project to ensure open lines of intelligence are being shared with all levels of law enforcement. Officials said the purpose of the database was not to track criminals or analyze crimes committed. That's not the purpose of this. No. Like typical law enforcement technology, but its job is to better understand the socioeconomic dynamics that underlie trouble neighborhoods.
That's a fancy way of saying it.
That's a fancy way of saying criminal profiling. That's a fancy way of saying, oh, hey, this is the way, because guess what? The poor black neighborhood, yeah, they're going to get locked the fuck down. Okay? That's what this is saying. Beck contrasted the active nature of the database with older reactive technologies. The very nature of CBIS supports our goals further. Develop and enhance LAPD's predictive policing efforts. Predictive policing.
Predictive.
And because it presents a comprehensive picture of the communities we serve, especially those troubled by violence and gang crime. The future of smarter, more effective policing means knowing where and when crime will happen. If law enforcement sees the area that's beginning to grow in terms of crime, a specific kind of crime, like property crimes, that may be related to drugs, officials can start flooding the area, not only with police, but with social services. Isn't this interesting? So this is a legal way to take, like, interpretive data and use it to crack down on, you know, kind of psycho-draconian measures. Little bit frightening. So let's contrast that story with another red sector news about what's going on in China. As to be, not to be confused with, of course, anything that could be concerned with, you know, reactive, or what was some of the buzzwords you had in here? You had some good ones. combat crime together. There's one in here. It was just brilliant. But it sounds dangerously like sealed management. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, the government in China.
We better bring the SWAT team to this area because, you know, that's a red sector.
Well, that's red sector. And then you start having boundaries up, right? Because that's what they're doing in China. The government calls it sealed management. China's capital has started gating and locking some of its lower income neighborhoods overnight with a police or security checking identification papers around the clock in a throwback to an older style of control. That's what they called this.
Wow.
An older style of control. Now, if you look at the previous story where they're talking about databases that just make these invisible lines in the sand that show, you know, that's just a bad area. That's red sector. Now we just got this barrier that prevents red sector from going through. So that's what they're doing. It's Beijing's latest effort to reduce rising crime, often blamed on the millions of rural Chinese migrating to cities for work because they're fucking dying. The capital's Communist Party secretary wants the approach promoted citywide. Whole fucking town of Beijing, baby. Welcome to the Beijing lockdown walled concentration state. But some state media and experts say the move not only looks bad, but imposes another layer of control on the already stigmatized vulnerable migrants. Not only does this look really bad, it is really fucking bad. So far, gates have sealed off 16 villages in the sprawling southern suburbs where migrants are attracted to cheaper rents, and some of the villages outnumber permanent residents 10 to 1. In some ways, this is like the conflict between Americans and illegal immigrants in the States. That's a quote. Quote, in some ways, this is like the conflict between Americans and illegal immigrants in the States. The local residents feel threatened by the influx of migrants. Huang Yokin, an associate professor of geography at the University of Albany in New York, who studied gating and political control in China, he said in an email, "The risk is that the government can control people's private life if it wants to." That is absolutely nothing like the Americans and the illegal immigrants. This is a lot more like a civil war where you have your own people locking members of your own country away because of their economic class, as opposed to people who are not from your country coming across your border. Whether or not that should be allowed is a totally different thing, but his parallel between the two is so far off. Like, I can't even, I'm like, what the fuck, guy? Are you serious? Did you actually say that out loud? That you made a comparison of locking up your own fucking people to locking up people who are not of your country coming into your country? That is not the same fucking thing at all. It's all one
bit
country.
Of a stretch.
Yeah, you guys took over this. You made this big dynasty. That, like, your management model is fucked up. I don't know what you're doing, but there's something wrong there. The government calls it sealed management. China's capital has started gating and locking some of its lower-income neighborhoods overnight, with police or security checking identification papers around the clock. It's so far, it's sealed off 16 of the communities. The gated villages are the latest indignity for China's migrant workers, who've already faced limited access for schooling and government services and are routinely blamed by city folks for rising crime. Because anytime you got migrants, that's what's going to happen. Using the hardship of the farm and the lack of privileges, migrants seem to be taking in the new controls in stride. Yeah, because they're desperate. If they don't take these things in stride, they're going to be fucked. Jai Yaiguan says he accepts the new system as a trade-off for escaping farm work in the northern province of Shaanxi. He arrived in Beijing less than 2 months ago and lives with a relative in one of the gated villages, Da Shengzhuang. He sells oily pancakes just inside the gates. I don't know what the fuck oily pancakes are, but I'm not eating any of those. Anyway, it's not as strict as before, where migrants would be detained on the way to the toilet, said Gia's relatives. Middle-aged woman.
It's way better.
Yeah, that's way better now. Sealed management looks like this. Gates are placed at the street and alley entrances to the village, which are a collection of walled compounds sprinkled with shops and outdoor vendors. The gates are locked between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., except for one main entrance manned by security guards or police. There to check identification papers, security roams the village by day. Closing off the village benefits everyone, reads one banner, which was put up by the first permanent gated village was introduced in April. Closing the village benefits everyone. Work will make you free.
I want that sign.
Sure. No, don't go get... If we got any Chinese people, that's like, holy shit.
Leave the sign alone. Yeah, it sounds like the movie Escape from New York. Like, they put all the criminals in one area, put a big fence around them. I mean, that was water, dude. But, just this last story that you're talking about, the lockdown and identification of areas, I could see this coming to the U.S.
Well, fuck, yeah.
Instead of gated communities, you
Absolutely.
Gate down the whole
city. What
do you
suppose this database is going to tell you, right? Oh, hey, shit!
Yeah.
South Central Los Angeles is a hotbed of crime. People love numbers, right? Everyone's got physics envy, right? Here's the charts. Yeah. Here's the pie graph. Glenn Beck, tell us how we're going to deploy this. And he'll bring out his swirly camera, and around he goes. Right? And he'll be like, da-da-da-da-da, before you know it. He'll be like crying on camera. And we need to lock down these people to save them all. You know, that's what he'll be doing. And it'll look like Jerry Falwell for, you know, the draconians, right? And it's like, seriously, that's what it's going to be. And then bang, up go the fucking gates. And what do you know? Crime's going down. And they'll be able to spin this around, you know. It's like in Canada,
and
right?
And then they'll slowly encroach the times that it's open into, like, you have the 1 hour that you can go in and cross the borders and come back before the gates lock at night.
Well, Jesus Christ, you're some easy to track, aren't you? I mean, you know, if
Yeah, with the eye scanners, everybody that goes in and out through the gates, they know where you've been, where you're going, how long you've been out there for. Where were you for 2 hours? That's way too long. That's out of your norm. You're usually only gone for half an hour.
Got to, time to move. Time yeah. to move. I'm going rural. Fuck.
Get away from the eye scanners.
Like, I'm sorry. It's the farms or gated Judge Dredd City. I'll take my chances in the bush. Seriously. Yeah. I'm going to find me some old yeah. dude who knows how to sword fight and fuck all y'all. Okay? Yeah. I'm totally.
GTFO.
Yeah, I'm going rural. You know, that's what's going on there. For sure.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lachlan Dark Matter. I'm going rural. Not to make fun of the accent, but I'm totally making fun of the accent.
Yep.
All right. Ian, so, you know, looking at this, though, I mean, it's China, right? And we kind of, like, put ourselves to sleep at night by saying, yeah, Sean, but that's fucking China. And everybody knows China is a lockdown psycho state, right? Like, it totally is.
Yep.
Unfortunately, dudes, I think that if you're just tuning in now, if you've only been listening for a couple of years, we were worried about this kind of stuff, the stuff we're seeing every day in the news. We were worried about this like 10 years ago. So now mm-hmm. it's kind of like, yeah, if you see this now, this shit is in the mail. And you know what? There's really no difference between, like, you know, the story about the oil cleanup. It doesn't matter, you know, what your race is. There's people over there who are living in a really scary society, okay? And they think it's okay because they're so beaten and broken down, and that's the only way they can survive. Okay, we don't want that, all right? We don't want that in North America. We don't want that in anywhere in the world, really. I think it'd be better to find a better way to do this. We got to have a little bit of freedom on the go. I don't know. I know America was founded on a bunch of ideals. Some people fight about what these ideals are. But I think that there's got to be something better than fucking walls and camps and chain guns and shit. Like, are you kidding me? Seriously? There's got to be a better way to do this. But sometimes, like we say, you know, there's got to be some kind of balance. You got to, you know, strike a balance. Sometimes people have to get shot. Sometimes they don't, I guess. I don't know. It's a crazy world. But I don't think putting up gates in your community is the answer. I think that's kind of scary. So,
yeah. That's just plugging your ears and closing your eyes. And
well, let's cheer ourselves up. Let's cheer ourselves up. Let's okay. go to some Kit. Nothing cheers me up like Kit. Everyone knows it. And I have Woo-hoo. Got some cool Kit to tell you about. The Shredder. Ah-ha. Now, they got to wait for them to bring this down. Right now, it's sitting at $5,000. I'm going to hit you with that off the front. Bang!
Ooh,
$5,000. Ouch.
Ow.
Wow. Yeah, that's what they were asking for. Now, that's not their. That's the prototype price. I think when this thing hits okay. the ground, it's going to be between one and two. Okay? So I'm thinking... Okay. $2,000. I wouldn't buy one if it was less than $2,000. Okay. Now, Segways mm-hmm. are what? $3,000? How much is a Segway? I think they're like $3,000 right
it's
now.
It's up right? there. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's now, if my competition was the Segway, I think they could probably ask for the same amount for this thing. What it is, it's a company called BPG Works has unveiled a cool new treaded vehicle that is a cross between a tank and a skateboard and a Segway. Aimed at getting soldiers around quickly on just about any terrain. The vehicle is called the Shredder, and it looks like the macho version of a Segway. The thing is powered by a 4-stroke 200cc engine with 15 horsepower. The vehicle weighs 125 pounds and has a suspension with 3 inches of travel. The torque produced by the little 200cc motor is 16 foot-pounds. The Shredder can carry 1,200 pounds of payload when unmanned
wow.
and 700 pounds of kit when manned. The top speed for the Shredder is over 30 miles per hour. The little vehicle has a turning radius of 4 feet and is able to negotiate slopes of up to 40 degrees. It can be operated remotely. I can only imagine how cool and strange it would be to see a fleet of soldiers flying through the desert on skateboards with tank treads. It's entirely too awesome for the U.S. government to buy. Now, you can actually order these and you can, you can get one as a tank tread scooter system. It's pretty goddamn amazing. But right now, they're looking at $5,000. There's a lot of video out there for it. Have a look.
Yep.
It's about the most cyberpunk-looking thing you ever did see. It's
oh, God, yeah.
pretty hot.
Powered skateboards, it's so awesome. It goes through anything. Because it's tank treads style, it can just
ice,
power through
snow.
Anything you throw at
it's,
it.
It's pretty yep. overt. You're definitely, like, don't put a silencer on your rifle when you're driving that thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of pointless at that stage.
It's, you know. It's loud. It's yeah. a little loud.
Yeah.
You're not sneaking up on anybody,
no,
but you're moving. You're pretty quick.
It's pretty out in the open. But, hey, sometimes that's pretty cool, you know? If
yeah.
I'm dropping guys off, that's hot shit right there. Now, Alex sent that in. Thank you very much. Now, this one's always good.
Yes.
I always enjoy this. You know, Sim, if I'm going to uh-huh. shoot you and I really don't like you, if I really don't like
yes.
you, like, I
yeah.
might I decide I'm going to kill you, so I'm going to shoot you with normal bullets. But if you ever cross that line, yes. Sam, if you're like reading Adbusters and you read that Osama bin Laden article they ran a while back, I'm going to keep bringing that up. And the copy with Obama with a clown nose. There's an article in there on World Peace from Osama bin Laden. Yeah. In the fucking magazine. Not a parody. They're running articles written by Osama bin Laden in fucking Adbusters. Yeah, that's the end of that conversation. So if you ever to read that and, you know, that glazed look goes over your eye, and I see that you're going to, you know, strap on that bomb vest and go insane, I can now shoot you with some specially made anti-terrorist bullets. Thank you very much, Boone, for sending me this scary little thing. Now, if you know anything about munitions, and I know I have a few people who know something about these, but these rounds are fucking terrifying. These are bullets designed to kill people. Bullets specifically designed to kill terrorists. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but terrorists' anatomy is different from yours and mine, and not just their little childlike wieners. Enter Extreme Shock Fang Face and Air Freedom Rounds. It's a new war.
Jeez.
It's a new war, and our nation's best warriors are now carrying the most devastating ammunition. As we entrust the defense of our freedom in the first finest professionals, they now carry an advantage beyond their own heroism. Over 10 years in co-development with Special Operations Group and federal law enforcement, the new Extreme Shock Explosive Entry Tactical Defense Rounds represent the ultimate refinement in lethal bullet technology. The compressed tungsten nitrilium composite fragments upon impact, leaving a wound channel of catastrophic proportions. The expanding fragmentation characteristics of Extreme Shock rounds can transfer the bullet injury in far faster times than conventional hollow points. The result stopping power is utterly devastating. Each shock rounds are engineered to expend maximum energy into the soft targets, driving the density of mass into an expanding rotating cone of nitrillium matrix particles, causing neurological collapse of the central nervous system. Yeah.
Be there.
Like, holy fuck. This shot...
Is $1 to $2 expensive for a bullet? I don't know what bullet prices are like, but that's what I'm looking at the website.
Yeah. Well, it's specialty ammo.
It's expensive? Or...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty pricey shit. I mean, you're not shooting paper.
It's engraved
in
the side. I hate you on the side or whatever.
Yeah, that's you know, somebody's
die
gone.
Die, terrorist
yeah,
scum.
Yeah, you know, it's like somebody's gone. They kidnapped your wife and kid and killed them. And they thought you were dead. And you've got the Amex card. Yeah. You know, you've went and subscribed to all those credit cards. You've got them all, and you're on the mail order. And you're like, loading up on the rounds for the P90, and you want to get the really custom shit. Yeah, this is where you're shopping. When you're saving one for yourself. Yeah, this is the shit you're buying right here. Okay, there's... Yep. the Extreme Shot Explosive Entry Round. This goes on. Okay.
They're selling it.
Okay. Well, they have all the ballistic gelatin shit here. They shot some ballistic gelatin, and it goes in the size of, like, you know, half a dime, and goes out 7 inches across. Okay? at exit
you're
point.
Not surviving
it creates a 7-inch
you know.
Wound channel. Okay? That's a wound channel you could put your leg in. Okay, let me give you some. You could throw a cat through that. I'm not even shitting you. Okay, that's like ridiculously huge wound. And that's just one of these wonderful new bullets that are on the market. It's too cyberpunk for me not to carry that. I have to do it. You know, there's a lot of street samurais out there. They want to know what the latest and greatest in munitions are. We're here to provide that service. Now, and how about this one here? This is another one that just is like a video game. What was that video game where you did drugs all the time? And it totally altered your state of consciousness, and that was like what the whole big thing with the game was. And if you didn't do your drugs, you were out. What game was that? Oh, Haze. That was the name of the game. Haze, believe, is actually the name.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty interesting game. DJ Dally nailed that one for me, but I believe that was the name of the game. Keep an eye on the chat for confirmation. But this is why you need to check out the show live.
That's right.
But there's a new brain bucket. We got a brand new helmet coming out. The research lab, run by neuroscientist William Tyler, who's been investigating non-invasive approaches to brain stimulation for many years. That's great. A non-invasive approach to brain stimulation, also known as mind control. Okay?
Put that on while you sleep.
Yeah. Some of the applications of brain stimulation include treating neurological diseases such as Parkinson's. That's a disease. Everybody knows that's bad. And depression, which is pretty loosely defined. Nobody's really sure what depression is. As well as enabling the development of brain-computer interfaces. This was a slide depression in there. As Tyler explains in a recent blog post, two of the biggest challenges in brain stimulation are archiving high spatial resolution for precise control of brain circuitry and deep penetration for reaching all parts of the brain. Currently, some brain stimulation techniques require surgically implanted electrodes to achieve these goals. We're going to put wires in your fucking mind, and non-surgical techniques tend to lack in one or both areas. But Tyler, who's good fun at party and always has blondes around, has developed a non-invasive technique, which is transcranial pulsed ultrasound. Hey, what are you, stay awake at night stroking your cat thinking about this shit, and can remotely stimulate brain circuits without the need for surgery. The pulsed ultrasound approaches can provide a spatial revolution that is about 4 to 5 times greater than other non-surgical techniques and can reap deep brain circuits to the same depth as surgical techniques. Hooray! He's got a method where he doesn't have to cut open your brain, where he can control you. With a grant from DARPA, the lab, which has taken this technology, is now turning its attention towards developing applications for, you got it, U.S. soldiers. Instead of using this technology to repair damaged brain circuits, the researchers are exploring how ultrasound can affect healthy brain circuits. They've developed, this is the article, they have developed
berserker soldiers.
They have developed working and conceptual prototypes of ballistic helmets embedded with ultrasound transducers and microcontroller devices. One of the most important applications may be minimizing effects of traumatic brain injury, TBI, as Tyler explained to Wired. The really damaging part of TBI isn't the initial injury, it's the metabolic damage, the free radicals of the swelling that happens hours afterwards. If you could flick your remote and trigger an immediate intervention, you'd be curbing what otherwise might be a lifelong brain damage. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, of course, there's going to be a lot of side research done with this, isn't there? You know, you're going to get a lot of other information out of this when you're doing, you know, the deep brain scanning thing. It's not just to stop swelling in the head. Okay, like, come on, really? You know? Really? That's what you're doing with this? You got, like, this awesome neural interface, and you're putting in helmets to see if you can stop their brains from swelling.
They're going to introduce, like, subtle little tweaks to certain groups of soldiers to see how well or poorly they perform.
Or let's talk about PTSD, right? Let's put helmets on these guys that just prevent their ability to remember. We already know that they can erase memories. So let's take these memories with these helmets on here, make sure that nothing goes to long-term memory, so they just have short-term memory. They go, do an operation, burn down a bunch of villages. Any long-term disorder? Fuck no, I can't remember shit. I'm going to be back on the chopper drinking a beer, and this is all going to be a bad fucking dream. That's exactly what that's going to be. So, I don't know, man. A little bit scary. Today's daily hack. We got some daily hacks. Auto AP. Now, this is interesting. This was sent in by... I don't have his name here.
Somebody
sent this in. I'm sorry, person whose name I don't have. Dear Sean and Tazor.
You know who you are.
Back in the Sean Kennedy radio show days, you guys talked about a theoretical idea where you would have to broadcast a show from a van driving down the street, jumping from Wi-Fi point to another one automatically. Now, this is possible with AutoApp script for DDWRT hacked routers. And they describe it best. AutoApp is a script that continuously scans for open Wi-Fi connections, tests them for validity, and connects to the strongest signal. If the connection is lost, the script scans again and finds the strongest valid signal and maintains a continuous connection to the internet on a mobile or portable environment. How fucking cool is that?
That is awesome, and I do remember talking about that. That's very, very cool.
Yes. So that's why you listen to
continuous broadcasting.
Inane ramblings, you know, so when I'm going for my crazy long run, I can stay online all the time. Also, this is very cool, and this is a neat one here. I'm not going to read the whole article because I'm out of time, but there's a do-it-yourself brain interface hack. Okay, and this is for the Emotive Epoch EEG headset. It's a $300 headset. I did a story on it a while back. But pretty much this guy named Cody Brocious went and hacked the shit out of it. So now you can take this EEG and start hooking it up to your Second Life interface. So now you can like think your way around the computer. So this pretty much takes that device and makes it into, you know, like a SciTech joystick, so you can just command the buttons, do whatever you want, only you're using your brain to do it. Very, very cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's apparently, and of course, it's all free. So, hooray.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool.
Except for the headset, but the software's free.
Dude, for $300, you get an out-of-the-box working headset with a complete development kit? Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. A set of data hands costs over $1,000. Okay, and I've got a brain interface for sub $500. Are you kidding me? Dude, like, that's money. That's awesome. So, Recomedia, everybody has to watch this. I had not seen this. This is one of these, it's one of these emails coming in. This is old and probably not new to you. But I still think all the WOGs should see it at least once. I thought about it to send it to the show. A Century of Self. Have you seen this, Sim? A Century of Self?
I haven't even heard of it, no.
Neither have I. Century of Self is a documentary about the rise of public relations industry and by proxy how PR and advertising targets and controls the populace. All of it can be found for free on Google Video. This is a very important video. It was made in the, 60s, maybe 70s, something like that. But it is something to check out. You need to check this out. It's very, very important. It's probably one of the most WOG things I've ever seen. I cannot believe that I haven't heard of this, and thank you very much. So Trench Spike sent me that. Perfect. Did you just put that on there?
Nice. Nope.
Creepy.
Did it just show up?
It just showed up. All right.
Oh, okay. Well, server provides.
I guess so. Says you're editing. I think you did. Says now that you're editing.
How would I know that? How would I know?
Because there's a little thing that comes up on my document that says also editing. Sumerian. And he's a lying fucker. All right. Also, we've got some information for the legal guns out there. Thank you very much, Boone, for sending that as Wex. This is an interesting resource, especially if you're going to be in the shit. As everyone knows, in the modern battlefield, lawyers are the big guns. Wex, W-E-X, is a community-edited legal dictionary and encyclopedia can break down topics like landlord-tenant law into reasonable, understandable bits. With the addition of plain English law dictionary, it's an even better resource for getting a quick read on legalese. Whether you're trying to get a better understanding of what happened in a case you're following or trying to better comprehend what your lawyer is purporting to do for you, Wex is a great place to start poking around. Relevant cases and decisions are cited and linked from its articles, and the NOLO plain English definitions are attached to articles wherever possible, offering a faster scan of TRO's alien tort statutes, not as funny or as tasty as it sounds, and all those Latin phrases tossed around. Wex is a free resource for anyone to use, period. Legal experts can sign up and follow from a homepage, can contribute and edit pages. Very, very cool. Wikipedia for law. Liking it a lot.
Nice.
Very useful thing to have. And that's all that I have for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the WOGs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so. Go to my live journal, sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Click on the subscribe tab and you are good to go. Or you can send gold bars to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, V5T1W0. And of course, my big thanks out to the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com just to get in touch with Sim. And if you got any Pirate Party stuff, best place to put it. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And I'm going to fade out now with an awesome track about a hero. This guy is a hero. It is Jacob Isob, and this guy is awesome. He's pinnacle of why pirates get beaten by ninjas. Ninjas beat pirates. This is brilliant. This guy is so WOG because he's brilliant. I love this guy. He's like my hero. He was in the right place at the right time, and just like Groundhog Day, he just leaned over. Remember in Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? It's like the money was there. He just reached over and grabbed it, walked away. Nobody got hurt. No problems with it. There's people burning the Quran. There's huge fucking riots going all over. The Pope got involved. Okay? The president got involved. International leaders got involved. And Jacob Isob was the guy who stopped the Quran from burning. Because he just went up when Buddy wasn't looking. He took it. Bang! Sam Fisher. Oh, look at that shit. Jacob Eisob, you're a fucking legend. It's awesomeness that is Jacob Eisob. And he's a complete freak. He's awesome. He's like, they asked him. They said to him, what would you like? He said, I'd like to be on the cover of High Times. I love you, man. You're like a fucking hero. You know, he's got his own T-shirt now. Dude, you don't even have... Dude, you have no Koran. You know, I mean, he's that's totally it. That's the major badass thing to say now. You know, honestly, you want to, like, sub in, you know, to Indiana Jones when he takes the idol away from Indiana Jones. He'll be like, dude, you have no Koran. That'll be, like, the total word to say. Anytime you take some shit away from some guy when he's not looking and you totally, like, thieve him, you're all like, zip. Whoa, dude, you have no Koran. That's like the default term. Just like gun store, anything else. Next time you do a pilfery, stealthy steal, you have to look at the guy and be like, oh, dude, you have no Koran. Because that's the best thing to say ever. Simi, do you have anything to add at all?
Nope.
Not at all? I mean, this is a good tune, though. The auto-tune remix of this, it's fantastic.
It's very funny. Yeah, it is. I just listened to it before the show.
It's unbelievable. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy of Rhea at each other's throats. We should be sneaking around and stealing their books when they try to burn them. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
A planned public burning of the Quran did not take place today in an Amarillo City park.
Snuck up behind him and took his Quran. He said something about burning the Quran. I was like, dude, you have no Quran, and ran off.
Snuck up behind him and took his Quran. Snuck up behind him and took his Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran. Have no Quran. Have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran. Have no Quran. Dude, you have no Quran.
Snuck up behind him and took his Quran.
Said something about burning the Quran.
And I was like, dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Snuck up behind him and took his Quran.
Said something about burning the Quran.
And I was like, dude, you have no Quran.
Planned public burning of the Quran did not take place today in Amarillo City Park.
We got Jacob Eisob, the hero, after he took the Quran
off the park crew.
And I was like, dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Have no Quran.
Have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Have no Quran.
Have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Dude, you have no Quran.
Have no Quran.
Don't you have no Quran?